international transformation and success coach Myrna Morris Young delivers life-changing strategies as the host of the Mindset Transformations radio show and podcast. Myrna shares these strategies from success achieved in her own personal journey and by interviewing other best-selling authors and coaches. Each show gives you practical tips on living your best life now by changing your mindset to change your life. I am grateful that you have tuned in today from all over the world. I believe that the Spirit of God led you here so that you can receive insight, revelation, and knowledge to see the next step in front of you as God reveals his purpose and destiny in your life. And now, here's Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show on podcast. I am your most gracious host, Coach Myrna Young. And today, I want to talk to you on the topic, how to awaken your soul's purpose. And I'm going to be bringing to you an interview with Neil Donald Walsh, who is the author of the Conversation with God series. This book has been very special to me when I read it. I read it with eyes that are wide open and just reveling in the truths that he was revealing to me. I was in amazement. So I wanted to share an interview with you because, you know, meeting your soul and understanding your purpose on this earth is one of the most fulfilling and rewarding experiences that you will ever have. As you listen to Neil, he will tell you of his experiences when he was rich and poor, and it doesn't really matter what worldly possessions we have. If we are not connected to Source, and if we are not feeling that we're on purpose, we will never be happy or fulfilled. So here are some of the things that I learned when I read the Conversation with God series. One of the first things was prayer. Do you understand how prayer works? I didn't. This is basically what Neil says about it. When you pray, in order for your prayers to be revealed, received by God, it must be in a frequency that he can hear. Now, I'm going to use he, of course. You know, we know that God is omnipresent. So, but just as you cannot hear this radio program if my words were not modulated to be transported over the communication lines and then demodulated back so you can hear them, it is the same way that prayer works, except the modulator this time is faith. And we know that as we look at Jesus doing healings in the Bible, he actually never healed anyone unless he first knew that they had faith. His most common words were, "Your faith has made you whole." So if you're asking God to grant you the desires of your heart and you don't believe that he will, your prayers will never be answered. The other part of the prayer mechanics is this. You will not have that which you ask, nor anything you want, because your request is a statement of lack. Say that you want a thing. Saying that you want a thing only works to produce the precise experience wanting in your reality. Abraham of the Law of Attraction books teaches the same thing. You have to see yourself in position of a thing that you want and not what you don't want. Because if you think of what you don't want, that is exactly what you will attract. And that is what will show up. Wondering why you keep attracting the same man, that same no good man that you say you don't want into your experience? That is because you are so detailed in what you don't want that the universe has no recourse other than to comply. So, when you pray, you must engage your faith. And thank God for giving you the desires of your heart. you need to tell him all the things you do want in a man. Be just as detailed, and then believe him for it, walking it. Believe that you already have such a man. And you will, because that's what fate does. Another one of the things that Neil talks about in his book, Conversations with God, is the scoop on relationships. You see, he says that it's only through relationships with people, places, and events that you can exist in the universe. You are only who you are relative to what another person is not. And that is why opposites attract. Your soul is always looking for its counterpart to complete itself. And when human relationships fail, and they never really fail, they just did not produce the result that you wanted, it is because they were entered in for reasons not beneficial to their survival. The purpose of a relationship is to decide what part of yourself you would like to show up, what part of another you can capture and hold. This revelation made me look at the purpose of my marriage from God's eyes. The good news is that my current marriage survived when the others failed because it had a purpose. And one of its purpose was to reveal itself to me. Yes, so that was a great revelation for me. All right, so abundance. I love talking about abundance. Because that's one of the things I have faith about, that God will open the windows of heavens and pour out blessings that I will not have room to receive. But what is an abundant mindset? And Neil talks about this as well. So let's give a test. Let's say that you're walking down the road one day, and you see a homeless person begging on the street corner. You go into your wallet and notice that you have $7, a $5 bill, and two singles. You start to give the homeless person the $5 bill, but decide instead to give him the two singles. Why did you change your mind about giving the $5 bill? Was it because you felt that it was too much money to part with? Did you feel that you needed it more than the homeless person? Depending on your answer, you will know if you have an abundant mindset. And if you decided that you did not have an abundant mindset, then the opposite means that you're operating from a spirit of lack. And according to Neil, the most rapid way to change a root thought or a sponsoring idea is to reverse it through the thought, word, deed process. You do the deed you don't want to have the new thought about, then say the words that you want to have the new thought about. Do this often and you'll train your mind to think in a new way. Because you are what you think you are. When the thought is a negative one, you have to find a way to break out of the cycle. So much of our present experiences is based on our previous thoughts. For example, let's say that you need $5,000 more to close on your new home. You receive a message from God to give $2,000 to a sister in the church who just lost her house in a fire. You obey because you have faith that God is able. Your common sense tells you in every fiber of your being that you are stupid, that you will never get that money back. But you act on God's promise and you walk in faith. You feel the uncomfortableness and you step out. You use the words that God will provide the increase. And guess what? He does. A few days later, a check for $10,000 shows up in the mail. that's what happens when you get uncomfortable and step out on faith. No growth happens unless you stretch yourself like a rubber band. I was in church a few weeks ago, and I heard a message from Joyce Myers. She shared a similar story. She said that she was broke and laying in her bed after her breast cancer surgery, feeling very fearful about her financial situation. You see, both she and her husband was in full-time ministry and dependent on her ability to preach for their income and survival. And because she just had surgery, she wouldn't be able to work for some time. Just as she was wallowing in fear and wondering how she's going to pay her bills, the doorbell rang, and someone brought her a check for $10,000. Someone she did not know, but who God knew and sent. She said from that moment onward, she never operated again out of fear or lack, because she knew that God was able. Yep, unless you have, in fact, your message was personal experience. Unless you have the personal experience, your fate is really only something that you've heard about. But when God actually shows up, your fate is multiplied. And then from then on, you begin to trust him without even thinking about it. So let's get to the topic of our conversation today, your soul. So let me share with you some soul expressions. When was the last time you cried with joy, wrote poetry, made music, danced in the rain, baked a pie, painted anything, fixed something that was broken, kissed a baby, held a cat to your face, kissed your dog, swam naked, walked at sunrise, played a harmonica, talked till dawn, made love for hours on a beach or in the woods, communed with nature, searched for God, sat alone in silence, or traveled to the deepest part of your being? When was the last time you said hello to your soul? Wow, I hope you got a really good romp with that. After reading this, I made a note to say hello to my soul more often. I needed to go skinny dipping at the beach. I need to dance in the rain. And boy, do I need to make love for hours in the woods. Who's with me? All right, so how do you awaken to your soul's purpose, our topic today? You see, your soul doesn't care about what you do for a living. The soul only cares about who you are being while you're doing what you're doing. The function of the soul is to indicate its desire, not impose it. The function of the mind is to choose from its alternatives. The function of the body is to act out that choice. Your soul has brought you to the words you're reading or listening to right now. And that is exactly how I found my purpose. One day, I was reading the local newspaper. Now, who reads the newspaper these days? I certainly never did. But this day, not only did I read the newspaper, but a newspaper after it appeared in my space, but I was guided to pick it up and flip through the pages. On one of the pages was a photograph of someone I thought I recognized. So I stopped to look at it and read it. It had the picture and name and a title beside her name. And that title said, Life Coach. I had never seen that word before or heard it anywhere. But I knew immediately that that's what I was supposed to do. And I acted on it. I was no longer uncertain. I was no longer flipping back and forth about what I wanted to do. I knew for sure. I arranged a meeting with this person. She actually was a sister in my church. And I asked her, what is a life coach? What does a life coach do? And she answered my questions. And a couple weeks later, I was enrolled in a class. It was that quick. But you see, my soul has been directing me all my life. It always brings me to where I need to be and the people I need to be with. So that must mean that I've met my soul. So, have you met yours? It's time for a meeting if you haven't. Okay, well, according to Neil, true masters are those who have chosen to make a life rather than a live-in. Life's irony is that as soon as worldly goods and worldly success are of no concern to you, the way is open for them to flow to you. And, you know, that gives me encouragement because I do this for free. So let the windows of heaven open up, Lord. All right. Well, there comes a time in the evolution of every soul when the chief concern is no longer the survival of the physical body, but the growth of the spirit. No longer the attainment of worldly success, but the realization of self. The goal and purpose of your soul is to fully realize itself while in your body, to become the embodiment of all that it really is. So now, let's listen to author Neil Donald Walsh as he goes into details of this. Stay tuned.
As it happened, I've been following Neil's work from the very beginning, and what I especially love and appreciate about him is that in spite of his extraordinary accomplishments, I mean, he's a New York Times best-selling author whose Conversations with God books have sold over 10 million copies, and he's traveled all over the world speaking to packed houses everywhere. In spite of all of this, his greatest accomplishment is his success at being a human being. So, Neil, welcome to our very special event.
Thank you, Ariel. When I hear introductions like that, and I want to thank you very much because those are very kind words, but when I hear words like that, I feel like I want to look around to the left and to the right and say, who are they talking about? Because I don't feel, as I just said a minute ago, I don't have a sense or an experience of myself in quite the same ways, but I do experience myself as having the ability to reach into my soul and to connect with God, the God of my understanding, in a particular and very special way. And that's what I want to share with people in this course, Ariel, because I believe it can radically and marvelously alter people's lives. And my gosh, my golly, at this point in human history, at this point in humanity's experience on the earth, do we ever need a deep ability to do that? I see it all over. I see a desire in people to alter their lives individually and to alter, of course, our collective experience collaboratively on the earth. So, Ariel, thanks for that introduction, but it's not about me. It's about an extraordinary message that God has given to the whole world.
Well, you're so welcome, Neil. And as someone who's really benefited from the Conversations with God series and from knowing you as long as I have, you are just so incredibly humble. But what I really want to say is that you've had such a huge impact on me personally and thousands of people around the world, and I'm just so happy and excited to be here with you right now because I know you're going to share with us what you consider to be one of your most important insights since book one of Conversations with God, and I've heard you refer to it as the secret answer to what billions of human beings since the beginning of time have been searching for but never finding. So I know tonight you're going to walk us through this process, which is the exact same process you yourself went through to create a life that fully reflects the truest self. And so let's get started. Neil, I know that you recently discovered a secret that is your most important teaching since book one of Conversations with God, and we're going to get to that in just 1 minute. But I wanted to start right now with why is this secret so important? Because, you know, many people right now are dealing with real life issues on a day-to-day basis, and some are successful and some aren't, but many have this deep down sense that their life isn't all it could be.
Well, everybody has that kind of a sense, Ariel, at one time or another, from my experience. Everyone has, at some point or another, experienced moments of profound connection to the deepest parts of who they really are. Yeah, but we might call these moments being in alignment with our soul. That's what I like to call them, because that's how I've experienced it, Ariel, just a sense of being in alignment with the deepest part of myself. But the frustration for me, and for a lot of people, is that these moments don't last. They come, they go, they can make us happy, but they're elusive. We don't seem to be able to make them happen when we want to. So many people really wish that they could experience more of these moments. And so did I until I discovered this secret. If people want to know how to live every day in that perfect flow when we're most fully ourselves, most of us, all of us, want a deeper connection. We want to feel that in all areas of our lives, from our work, our home life, our relationships, our bodies, to, of course, our relationship with the divine. And in our less than successful attempts to create this deeper connection, my experience has been, my observation of others as well, has been that we often wind up, Ariel, sidetracked, you know, pouring our energy into what we could call more superficial goals, dare I use that word, you know, the better job, the better house, the better partner, the better car, whatever we think is going to make us really feel better about life. None of which, however, really actually gets us there. And then we often see other people who seem to be experiencing the kind of success we're aiming for. That's what really was crazy for me in my life until just recently. I'd look across the room, look across the, you know, the space, and I'd see people who were there. I mean, they seem to be fulfilled, doing what they love. How do they do that? But we know it's possible because there they are. They're right across the room doing it. But for some reason, we keep trying different things, doing this and doing that, doing this and doing that. And none of the things that we're doing seem to be giving us the same soul-nurturing experience that we see others having and that we know we want in our own lives. So, you know, if you're listening to this call, and if you can relate to this experience that Ariel and I are now discussing, of having glimpses, I guess I would call them, having an occasional glimpse now and then of your truest self, but have also experienced frustration in the process of trying to create a life that fully reflects who you are. If you're able to hear that right now and relate to it, I want you to know that you're not alone and that you're in the exact right place right now. Because on the call today, I'm going to reveal to you how you can go from merely having these glimpses of your authentic self to creating a whole life that fully expresses who you are in every way.
God, I love that. Can you talk a little more, Neil, about what people might be feeling who are now ready for this kind of transformation in their lives?
Well, I think it's a sense, Ariel, that life is going by and that we've not been living it to the fullest. And I don't mean to the fullest in terms of making the most money or having the most fame or power or glory. I don't mean it that way. I mean that we have a sense that there's more to be had here, that there is more. How would I put it? Something that's supposed to be happening, it doesn't feel like it's happening. Almost can't put it into words. It's a feeling. It's a knowing. It's a deep inside experience, but it makes us feel larger and more glorious and more wondrous about the whole life experience. And it has very little to do with the outside stuff that I just mentioned, the car, the house, the job, the money. We have this vague sense inside that there's just more inside of us, more that wants to come out, that wants to emerge, that wants to emerge for a very special and sacred reason. I don't want to start, you know, sounding too sacred about this, but, you know, Ariel, the whole life experience is sacred. Everything in life is holy, and I don't think that people are holding it that way. I didn't until I had my conversations with God. I've watched myself in my life, and I've watched the world around me, and it's been my observation that 98% of the world's people are spending 98% of their time on things that don't matter. I mean, people don't do things that matter. They do things that don't matter. But they don't do things that don't matter because they don't care. They do things that don't matter because they're really not clear how to get to where they really want to go, how to get to what really does matter. And I understand why they're not clear. I wasn't clear either, because the only instructions that we've had are the instructions that we've gotten from our society, from our culture, from our environment, and to some degree from our parents and from all the people around us. And they weren't clear. Hello? So we're taking instructions and getting directions from people who've never been to where we want to go. They've never been there, or at least not a lot. You know, Ariel, human beings these days, in this day and time, want to go to a place that they've never been to before. And that's why I know that the others have never been there, because this is a brand new experience for all of us. Talk about the Star Trek thing, to go where no man has gone before. That's really what's happening now on the planet, Ariel. And I observe that human beings are saying, okay, been there, done that, with regard to normal everyday life on the Earth. Now, we want to go to someplace new, to someplace special, to someplace grander than we've ever been to before. Individually, it feels to me that people are sensing this all through their lives. And what that feels like, what that looks like as I observe it, is that they not only want their earthly talents more fully expressed and their inner creativity more completely realized, but they also want their divine nature more absolutely understood and expressed and experienced as well. That's what was going on with me when I reached that point, Ariel. I had my outward talents felt and expressed to some degree, not as fully as I would have liked, but I didn't realize what the formula was to get them fully expressed. And the formula to get them fully expressed was to fully express my divine nature more absolutely than ever before. Now, I think people are finally understanding this. I think they're coming to understand that life is a sacred journey. And I use those words advisedly. That we're not just, you know, going from birth to death, the one with the most toys at the end wins, but that we are, in fact, on a sacred journey, a journey undertaken by the soul. And that the soul has undertaken this journey for a very, very important reason, having nothing to do with get the guy, get the girl, get the car, get the job, get the house, get the promotion, get the office in the corner, blah, blah, blah. Nothing to do with any of that. Those expressions of life are okay. I mean, get the guy, get the girl, get the house, get the promotion. Those are all okay. It's wonderful to get those things. Wonderful to do that. But to do it as an expression of our real reason for being here, rather than as an attempt to simply get to that expression. And that's the difference. There are people on the earth, Ariel, who are doing what they're doing as an expression of their highest and truest nature. I mean, they're out there. There are also people who are doing what they're doing as an effort to get to that expression. And of course, they never get to it because they're going about it in the wrong way. I hate to use such definitive words, in the wrong way, but I don't mean wrong, you know, morally wrong. I mean, it's just ineffective. It's just not the way you get there. They're taking the wrong path, traveling the wrong road, just not getting to where they want to go. And that's what I experience now as I look all around me on the earth, Ariel, the hundreds of people who I speak to monthly in my lectures and workshops and so forth, all saying the same thing to me. There must be more than this.
Yeah, there's just so much, you know, frustration and struggle when you're on the wrong road, when you're headed the wrong way, especially when you're filled with this yearning for a deeper expression. So why do we keep running into roadblocks?
Well, first of all, because what we're struggling for is the wrong thing in a sense. I mean, that's the problem. People understand that we're here basically for a sacred and spiritual reason. That's really the fundamental reason we're here. But life on the ground, daily life, seems to be going in the other direction, seems to be getting in the way. So people are frustrated about their situation in life, all their situations, their money situation, their relationship situation. They're frustrated about their career, their talent expression situation, so to speak. They're frustrated about their parenting situation, all the stuff in life, day to day, the stuff that seems to be getting in the way and that doesn't seem to be going away or going as smoothly as we would like it to go. The great secret, the incredible treasure of understanding is that when we begin to approach life for the real reason we're here, all these other things take care of themselves. The parenting suddenly goes more smoothly. The career suddenly blossoms. The financial situation suddenly clears up. The relationship becomes the most glorious and blissful experience we could ever have imagined. But not because we're trying to solve all these problems at the level of those problems. See, we're not solving them at the level at which they exist, but rather because we finally got the key. We finally understand that the key has nothing to do with those problems directly, nothing to do with those conditions, nothing to do with those situations. The key had to do with our true reason for being on the planet. And when we finally begin to fully express our understanding of that reason, come from the space of clarity around it, all the other dominoes begin to fall.
As you were saying that, the things suddenly clear when we get there, I could just feel myself be able to breathe, like my heart opened and my shoulders dropped, and I could just breathe.
Yeah.
Can you just share with us a little bit how you came to discover these insights?
Well, you know, when I was 49 years old, I had a very unusual experience. A lot of people know about it. They've heard about it, but I'll share it with you. I broke my neck in a car accident, and I couldn't work for a very long time. I mean, I was in rehab for almost 2 years. So I lost everything that I had financially. I couldn't work anymore at any kind of a job. You know, I was very lucky, frankly, to get out of that alive, or at least without lifelong paralysis. It was a wonderful blessing for me because most people with broken necks suffer a great deal more than I did. But I suffered enough, thank you very much. And after 2 years of walking around with a brace around my neck, I had a therapeutic device around my collar and just trying to live my life. It was a big deal, you know, Ariel, for me just to lift a half gallon of milk with my arm extended, because I wasn't allowed to lift anything more than 3 pounds that way. And it was a very serious situation. So, of course, I wasn't able to work. I was unable to live the kind of life, for that matter, in any way that I'd been used to living. And I lost, as a result of that process, as I said, everything. I don't need to get into the details of how or why, but I can tell you that I spent a year on the street, living on the sidewalk, begging for people to give me a few coins, a dollar, a dime, a nickel, a quarter, whatever they have, so I could get through life. Because I'd lost all those things that my other way of living had brought me. I lost the job, the income, the house, all the things I thought I needed in order to be a fulfilled human being. And finally, after a year of effort, I found a little job and got out of that homeless park where I had placed myself. I started producing even a little bit of income. But even that didn't last because I lost the job again. I mean, believe it or not, I went to work one day and there was a sign on the door that said, bankrupt, closed by the bankruptcy court. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And the door was locked. And there it was. I lost everything again, it looked like to me. That's when I went to God and asked, what will it take for my life to work? Of course, I was still struggling with the old ideas that I had before, that I needed to get the house, get the job, get the car, get the income, get the lady, get the, you know, whatever I thought I needed to be happy in order to solve all my problems. But that's when I began to get the messages for the Conversations of God books. And the rest, of course, as you know, are all this history. But it wasn't until recently, last year to be exact, when I really looked at what had become of my life in the past 15 years since those books were published, and that I'd been able to solve all the problems and had everything that I thought I'd wanted. I had the nice income, the nice house, a lovely, wonderful wife, 9 children, and certainly a little bit of fame, I guess, among certain people. I had all those things. I had everything I ever thought I needed to feel like my life was complete, and still, even with all of that, I heard my soul crying out to me, Neil, that's not it. All those things you've received and acquired and worked for and produced are not what your life is about. If you died tomorrow, your life still wouldn't be complete. Now that's when I realized, oh my gosh, it's not about any of that. It has nothing to do with the income and the job, or even for that matter, and I know this is a sacred thing, but even with the family or the children, those are wonderful, as I said before, wonderful blessings of life. But even that was not the primary purpose of life. It was instead the most glorious expression of it, but not the primary purpose. And that's the difference I'm trying to point to, Ariel. So I found the great secret of life, which is that it has nothing to do with the exterior events and circumstances of one's day-to-day experience.
Neil, if it's not the mate, the job, the kids, the house, the money, the comforts of life, then what is the secret to a meaningful and complete life? Don't leave me hanging here.
Well, the secret is you need to create a life that expresses your truest self, which is your soul. And I've learned that there's a three-step process by which that can be accomplished. Step one, you taking notes here?
I got my pen out right here. I am 1,000,000% focused on you, so give it to me.
I'm glad, because I hope everyone else is too, because guys, it took me a long time to learn this, and if I could do anything with my life, boy, I mean this so sincerely, if I could do anything with my life that was worthwhile to my mind and heart and soul, it would be to share something with you from which you would benefit, that you would not have to go through what I had to go through to get this. So look, these are the three steps that helps us to express our truest self, which means our soul. Step one, you need to become aware of who you are. You do that by discovering that you have a soul and the function of your soul. So that's step one, discovering that you have a soul and what its function is. Step two, you need to know why you're here and what your life is about. And that means connecting with the soul you've now discovered that you have and learning what your soul's agenda is. And then step three, you need to live from your soul's agenda in order to express and experience why you're here and your reason for being here. Every human being, Ariel, has to make a fundamental decision. And they have to make it, I would think, very quickly now in life. I mean, the sooner the better. And the decision is, who am I? Am I a biological creature? Am I simply an expression of a chemical compound? Not unlike a dolphin or a whale or a bird or even a tree for that matter, except in terms of the complexity of my expression? Am I simply an expression of physical biology, nothing more, nothing less? Again, a marvelous expression, to be sure, but nothing more and nothing less. Or am I, in the alternative view, a spirit? A soul. A soul having this physical expression, having this thing we call a body and a mind, and having it for a particular reason and a purpose. But a reason and a purpose that has nothing to do with the body and the mind itself, but rather that has to do with the soul. Is it possible that the body and the mind are merely tools? Wonderful, marvelous tools, but merely tools to move forward the agenda of the soul? Let that be our question for the day. Well, if that's possible, and by the way, that's exactly what it is, if that's possible, then we need to know what is the agenda of the soul.
Okay, so on a day-to-day basis, how will my life be different as a result of discovering my soul's agenda?
Well, when we live from the agenda of the soul, Ariel, all these other things resolve themselves automatically. These are the things we've been talking about. For instance, no one who lives from the agenda of the soul has relationship difficulties. to give you just one example of, you know, a day-to-day basis stuff that you're talking about. Now, I'm not saying that their relationships don't change form. You might, in fact, change the form of your relationship. You may, in fact, get a divorce or separate or marry or become partnered with someone when you are being single at the time. So your relationship may change. That is, your experience of relationship could be altered. But it will be in no way problematical, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Your relationship experience in life will no longer be problematical. Same is true of your financial experience and your employment experience, your job experience on the earth. It may also change, but it will also be no longer problematical. The reason we live from the agenda of the soul is that when we turn around and look at life, we see it in an entirely different way. We perform our life, that is, we move through our life in an entirely different way. And the new way that we move through life causes all of those things that we once thought were problematical to ultimately disappear. That is, they disappear in terms of the effect and the experience that we're having of them in any negative way. So we see things, we experience life, we express life entirely differently. Boy, if you don't think that coming from the agenda of your soul will change your relationship life, think again. If you don't think it'll change your financial life, your career path, think again. Because it alters your very raison d'etre, your very reason for being in that relationship, your reason for being in that job. The reason is no longer survival or happiness. Those aren't the reasons. The reason is entirely different. Soul doesn't move forward in its experience in order to be successful or to be happy.
So, Neil, it sounds like then there's a ripple effect that affects the rest of our lives when we do begin to live from our soul's agenda.
You've nailed it. That's exactly right, Ariel. That's just exactly right. Because not only when we look over our shoulder at our past and where our problems were yesterday, the day before, and last month, and last year, not only do those problematical conditions begin to resolve themselves or to dissolve themselves, I might say, but the illusion that they are problematical to begin with is dissolved. And that we suddenly realize we can manifest and bring into reality all the wonderful things we've hoped for, yearned for, or thought that life was going to bring us. Suddenly, these things show up in our life, not because we're trying to get life to bring them to us, but because we have decided what we're really doing on the planet. And what we're really doing on the planet automatically brings these things to us. May I just say this, Ariel? Someone far more eloquent than I will ever be put this wonderfully in a single sentence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you.
Wow, that is just so simple and beautiful and truly makes a lot of sense. Neil, would you be willing now to talk about how to actually live this secret? Because I know you said step one was awaken to your soul. What does that really mean, to awaken to your soul, and what's the process we need to follow to do that?
Well, I think what it means, Ariel, is becoming ultimately aware. You know, when I use the word awaken, I use it to mean to expand or to step into one's full awareness of the existence of the soul. Most of us have heard the word soul. All of us, not most of us, all of us have heard the word soul. Probably everybody on the planet has heard the word or spirit or soul once or twice in their lives. And if you come from certain backgrounds, we know a lot about the fact that the soul exists. I mean, religion tells us that the soul, many religions at least tell us that the soul exists. There's such a thing as the soul. There's no question about that. The problem is that that's about as far as religions go. Yes, you have a soul. I don't know any religion these days that tells us in detail what is the soul. I mean, what is that? What is its purpose? What is its function? How does it work? How do you interact with it? What's going on here? So we know this about the body. We all understand the body, and science and medicine has told us everything there is to know about the body, and we learn more, for that matter, every day. Such wonders we learn about that we are absolutely astonished by them. We call them medical miracles and so forth. We know about the mind, too. We know all about the mind, how it works, how it sometimes dysfunctions, what its purpose is. See, we know about the body and we know about the mind, but no one has given us that same kind of information about the soul. And that's funny. That's ironic because it's the most important part of our three-part being. And that most important part is the part we have not found out about. Now, awakening to the soul is about becoming aware, A, that the soul exists, B, what the soul is, and C, how it functions, how it works minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day in your life. That's what I mean, Ariel, by awakening to the soul, just as we've awakened to the facts about life itself in terms of our body and mind. Now, the process by which we do awaken to the soul, it seems to me, follows a simple formula. One, it involves a deep level of willingness. Two, it requires a deep level of courage. And three, it calls upon us to express a deep level of determination. Willingness to acknowledge and to be aware that there's something we don't fully understand here about life itself, the understanding of which will change everything. That takes enormous bravery, folks. Bravery to set aside our previous beliefs and our previous understandings of what we're doing here and what we're trying to accomplish while we're on the earth and the reasons that we're trying to accomplish it. I didn't have the courage to do that. I thought I would hear this kind of stuff in the past from other people. Not many, by the way, because there weren't tons of people talking about this, but there were a few. And I'd hear about that, and I'd get to know that. Yes, you know, it's all very nice. But guess what? I got the telephone bill to pay by the end of the month, a mortgage after that, and a spouse that I want to stay happy with, and my children who are demanding things from me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I couldn't make the connection between what's being talked about now here about the soul and all of that day-to-day stuff. So awakening to the soul, Ariel, is a process by which we invoke enormous courage, enormous bravery to step into the reality that there is a soul and that its agenda has nothing to do with what we thought our life was really about.
Is there a story, maybe one of your personal stories or one of your students that you can share with us who has awakened to their soul?
Well, for some it's a thunderbolt experience, you know, like walking down the street and suddenly they just knew. That's people like Byron Katie, you know, Eckhart Tolle, people like that who just suddenly knew. But for most of us, it's a slow boat to China. For most of us, it takes a few knocks on the head with a 2x4. I can tell you that's true about me for sure. And let me share with you about another person who was in one of my retreats who had exactly the same experience that I've had. This is a person who had just what we're talking about here, a wonderful job, a whole career in law, in fact, making, frankly, a lot of money. Highly respected person. Everything was going right in his life. But he had a deep and gnawing sense that this can't be it. And here's the irony of this young person. He had reached that pinnacle of life's success, if you please, at a very young age. A relatively young man for a person in his profession. I don't think he was 40 yet, maybe 36 or 37 years old. And he woke up one morning and he told us in the retreat with tears in his eyes that he woke up one morning with a sense of, a deep awareness of, oh my gosh, oh my golly, there's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. I've reached the mountaintop. And he realized that he had already achieved what he set out to do at the age of 18 or 19 when he stepped into college. And the awful sense that in that way, in that particular way, his life was over at 37, that was what was gnawing at him that morning and continued to gnaw at him, continued to just eat away at him. And that's the frustration of many people. I mean, imagine turning around and having gotten there at the age of 37 years of age like this guy did, and he stood in our workshop and the tears were rolling down his face, Ariel. He was asking himself the question, now what? I mean, surely there's more than this. And he turned to everybody in the room. And there were some people there who hadn't gotten there yet, hadn't gotten to where he was, and they were 47, and they were 57, and some were 67, and some older people were crying along with him, not for for him so much, but because he was saying to them, look, if you think that getting what I already have is it, I'm standing here to tell you it's not. It's not it. Now, you don't have to be homeless for a year on the street or face some other enormous crisis in your life. His crisis was the absence of a crisis. Can you hear that? Well, let me say that again because you may have missed it. This guy's crisis was the absence of a crisis. His crisis was that everything was going so beautifully. There was nothing else to hope for, nothing else to yearn for, nothing else to work for. And he realized then that having all of it meant having nothing at all. So this guy, his name is Roger, he woke up. He suddenly realized that there was more to life than what he had achieved and always yearned for. And he got there. He got to this place of realization through a variety of pathways, not the least of which, I might add, was having encountered the Conversations with God material. So he then moved on to step two, which is connecting with your soul. First, step one, realizing you have a soul, which he did in that moment of awakening, and then connecting with your soul. Because awakening to something without connecting with it has, of course, no benefit whatsoever. So what's necessary in step two is doing the work of really starting to tune in to what the soul's agenda is, what the soul wants, so to speak, and therein discovering in every moment precisely what your purpose for that moment is. Once you do that, it becomes easier and easier to live your life from that place. There's a much more intensive process to this that I can go into here. I want to go into it in far more depth when I work with students, and I'll talk about that a little more on the call. But in terms of Roger's story, the part of his process that he loved was that he got into deep self-reflection, deep meditation, deep visualization. I mean, he worked with himself and began to discover the pathway to his soul, what we would call the highest spirit of human beings. And he found that pathway by getting off of the other pathway that he was trotting day in and day out to somehow achieve all those other aspects of life. And he did achieve them, as I mentioned, quite well, but nothing that he was looking for was found there. Interestingly enough, in Roger's case, he did not lose any of the things he had acquired. Some people are afraid of, great, I go into the journey of the soul and I wind up losing what little I have, or for that matter, what great deal I have that I've acquired. But in fact, he did not lose it. Roger simply multiplied it 7 times 7. That's what happened in his life. Everything became more magnificent and more wondrous because the activity he was engaged in was for an entirely different reason. I mean the activity he was engaged in after he discovered this process of the soul. He now engaged in those activities in order that he might express and experience his true identity, not his identity as an attorney, not his identity even as a father or a husband. No. He wanted to share that true identity of his divine self in demonstrations with others, such that others got in touch with their true identity as well. So he began to gain a reputation in his business as a very special kind of attorney. Not only an attorney who would sit down with you across the desk and talk to you about your life problems and how to legally solve them, but one who would lean across the desk in another way as well and help that person get in touch with the deepest part of their being, which, by the way, often produced solutions, suggestions, opportunities for solutions that the client himself would come up with, would recommend, and they would both sit there and say, wow, isn't that a remarkable way to approach this problem, a way that would never have come up if we simply looked at our law books. So his clients would walk out of his office, they'd say, he used to tell me stories about this in that workshop, he told us stories about people who would walk out of his office and say to the receptionist, is that an attorney in there or is that a minister? And then step three now. Step three is when you begin to live from the agenda of your soul. That's what Roger had done. First he discovered he had a soul, then he looked for its agenda, then sitting in that office with his clients, he began to live from the agenda of his soul. the agenda of the soul, it's been made clear to me, Ariel, is twofold. One, for us to individually, and I want to say solely, realize, that is, make real in our experience through demonstration, a complete expression of who we really are and of our divine nature. Life, it seems to me, is a series of events, circumstances, situations of moments that are marvelously crafted and created collaboratively by the lot of us to allow each individual one of us to step into those moments and to find an aspect of divinity that we choose to flow through us, in us, as us. So we might experience, we might know in our experience who we really are by expressing it. Life, in fact, is God's mechanism by which divinity itself can be experienced as well as simply known. Not just known, but expressed and experienced. I want to say one thing about that. It's one thing to know that you're, let's use an example, patient, for instance. It's one thing to know that you're patient, but it's another thing to express it. It's one thing to know that you're wise and intelligent, but it's another thing to express it. It's one thing to realize that you're compassionate. It's another thing to express compassion. And to use the most obvious one, it's one thing to know that you're a loving person. It's quite another thing to express it. Which is why, by the way, even some elderly people who have lost their spouse, and they're in their 90s, but they don't have anyone to express their love with. The kids are all out of the house. They've been away for 40 years, and there they are sitting there at 96, but you get that person a puppy, a cute little sweet little puppy dog, and that's what they suddenly do. These wonderful people suddenly experience the expression, not just the knowing that they are loving, but the expression of their love. And they come alive again. Those people come alive again because they not only know that they're a loving person, they now experience it. So, our purpose in being here on the earth, Ariel, it seems to me, is to express and to experience every aspect of divinity that flows through us.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young. And you were just listening to Neil Donald Walsh, the author of the Conversation with God series, talk to us about the process of awakening to your soul's purpose. We're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back.
If you are listening to this broadcast, it means that you are hungry for growth, hungry for change. Hungry for insights, revelation, and knowledge. Whatever you need in your life, you will receive it today. For the past 20 years, Myrna has been an entrepreneur. As past CEO of Royal Livery Limousine Service and now CEO of MyHelps Coaching and Consulting Services, Myrna has achieved good success. Awarded Entrepreneur of the Year, Myrna knows what it takes to help you be successful. Myrna helps her coaching clients to design a practical plan to close the gap of where they are today and where they would like to be tomorrow. In business, relationships, health, or career goals. That is why Myrna is offering a free one-hour strategy session valued at $150, totally free. No strings attached. If you are listening right now, go to www.MyrnaYoungHelps.com/contact.us and sign up now for a free session with Coach Myrna. She has helped business owners and other clients just like you overcome their obstacles and set them on a path to success. Take advantage of this offer today. Go to www.MyrnaYoungHelps.com/contact.us right now.
Welcome back to Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I hope that you enjoyed our segment today. I hope that you were able to learn something that you've not known before from my introduction or from listening to Neil Donald Walsh talk about your soul and how you live the experience on this earth so that you can realize what you have been brought here to do, why you chose this moment to inhabit the physical body, or I should say why your soul chose this moment to inhabit your physical body. So as we wrap up today, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and podcast. Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday at the same time, or you can also download or subscribe to my iTunes channel just in case that you cannot be here every Wednesday at 5. Subscribe to my iTunes channel so you would not be able to miss any of this great content that I try to bring you every week. If you would like to be a guest on the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and podcast, be sure to email me at info@myhelps.us or just contact me through my website, which is www.myrnayounghelps.com. Until next time, namaste.